Lord, we welcome you, our teacher. We thank you, Lord, that you have the power to not only help us to know things, but to actually put it inside us and grow these realities inside us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you call us with a high calling and you have things impossible to be done in human ways, but full of your power and your greatness. Praise your name, Lord. We welcome you. That even in our time together, these 2 hours, you would direct us personally. Come and meet us, Lord. We ask you that you sit next to us and be our counselor. Help us to be taught of you. Praise your name, Lord. We welcome your name. We welcome you.
Amen.
Praise your name. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, 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 God is with us. Emmanuel, 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 God is with us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, 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 God is with us. Emmanuel, 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 God is with us. Commit this time into your hands. Teach us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You should have this grid. This grid is kind of like... Have you ever seen this before?
No.
No?
Should I have?
I'm not quite sure. We have so many materials that I can't remember where we're coming or going. Whoever hasn't got one... Maria, you don't have one? Okay, you guys don't have...
No, we have copies.
We have copies.
No.
It is actually too much information. So, in some ways, we've had this for many years, actually, but it was so much information that we felt that sometimes too much information can be not a very good thing. But if you look at this, some things may actually ring a bell for you. If you look at the top line horizontally, there's a word called child, right? Second John talks about the fact that I speak to you little children because your sins are forgiven, you know, and it really has to do with that first stage in our spiritual life in which we are little children and we learn how to be dependent upon the Father. We have a connection with the Father. We know our sins are forgiven. We know we are loved by God. And that It has to do with a lot of the first stage of a Christian in their Christian life. If they don't have that, they will actually grow up with a lot of performance orientation, a lot of pressure to become this or that without knowing the unconditional love of the Father. The state of a child is not an intellectual stage only, but it's a stage in which the love of God becomes so deeply built up in a person that without thinking about it, they are assuming of the love of God. They know the love of God. Does that make sense? Nobody can tell them your father, their father or their mother does not love them because they know the love of God deep in their heart. It's deep in their marrow. And so the first stage in a Christian's life when we are shepherding them or we are pursuing them is this child stage. And in our first session, we talked about that. Yeah, we talked about that. I'm not sure whether you can remember it, but if you didn't remember it, this thing will put it down for you. Okay? Their prayer in this stage, their prayers are being answered. They experience, you know, they are able to come to you and tell you, you know, this is my need. I have this crisis, you know, and we pray and they experience prayers answered. It's one of the greatest things when you find new Christians, they begin to find their prayers are being answered. It's like God becomes real, right? You begin to be a young Christian whose God is real. Unlike a lot of people who are Christians for donkey's years, but God is not real in their life. Yeah, but here, immediately as a helper of their joy, someone who's pursuing them or caring for them, we experience the prayers answered. As a child, we learn how to ask. You know, when a baby is in need, they just cry. They only know how to cry. They don't need to express it clearly. They just, and the parent is supposed to somehow discern what they need, right? So it's all on the parent, right? As a young child, it's all on the parent to discern. It's all on God to actually know what we need. We just have to call out to the Lord. One of the basic verses that we want to learn is that if we call upon the name of the Lord, we will be saved. Yeah, it doesn't need to be articulate. What happens is that a lot of Christians, they learn all the Christian words and become articulate, but they have not had answer. They not know what it means for to cry out to the Lord, and the Lord answers them. Okay, so that's a child. They know God at work. Their instincts are being formed, and they also baptized in the Spirit. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they experience the Holy Spirit coming upon them in less than not just mental ways. Not just intellectual ways. When they are baptized in the Spirit, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Their spirit begins to be opened up. As opposed to those who are in sin, their spirit is dead. You know, remember we are dead in trespasses and sins. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, actually when on conversion, our spirit comes alive. And there's a new dimension that actually happens in our lives. As a person who's pursuing them, shepherding them, you want to be able to recognize, that's the Spirit, right? When I was filled first with the Spirit, I was fortunate enough to have somebody to tell me when certain occurrences would take place. You know, I would read the Bible and suddenly my eyes would be tearing up. And that never happens to me. But then when I was filled with the Spirit, something got activated. And I don't know what that was, you know, that there's somebody who was able to tell me that. When I got baptized, immediately I was filled with doubts about the existence of God and all that. I needed somebody to be able to tell me that there is something going on in the Spirit. Does that make sense? And so to be filled with the Holy Spirit it initiates people into the Spirit life. Yeah. If a person doesn't experience that, they will go for years and years living up in their mind and trying to argue and work out whether this is God or not God and their spiritual life, it just never gets going. But when they are baptized in the Spirit or they are filled with the Holy Spirit, they are aware of the Spirit that's actually working in their intuition. And so they are freed up from just being living their Christian life in the mind. Yeah. So the category for spiritual growth that I've classified, there are four tech categories: Spirit, Word, Winning, and Discipling. Do you see that?
Yes.
as you look vertically down, for a child, there are in each of these categories certain things that are spiritual ingredients that we want to see happen in that child, spiritual child. Does that make sense? So this is a way to read this grid. Okay, in word, you know, they first learning to willing to own a Bible, know the Gospels, and FV is the first way in which they can hear from God in the Word. Okay, so with winning, there are also examples they can share testimony, invite people to church. You know, even when they are young Christian, they can be evangelists already, just inviting people to church. Sometimes one of the greatest sources of people coming to the Lord is young Christians, because they are so full of the excitement of God. They bring their family, they bring their friends and all that, and they are bringing people to Christ. They don't know how to share the gospel, but they can share their testimony, to share what God did. Look at what God did. Once I was blind, now I see. That kind of thing, that's alive. Now what happens is this. A lot of Christians become old without experiencing the first stage. Okay? So basically, our first session that we did was basically to kind of touch on these things. Yeah, if you catch the recording, you haven't heard it, it's all there. Right? Today, what I would like to do is to think about what happens next. Yeah? And I don't think I will have time to cover everything, all the four categories: spirit, word, winning, discipling. By the way, discipling, what I mean by discipling is just the normal development of our spiritual life in the context of our own individual life, but as well as in the context of the church. Yeah. But I'm using this as a grid that if we look at these four areas, those four areas cover the basic things in our spiritual life that we're looking for. Yeah. If you look at the young man, I'm just going to read it off first with a little bit of explanation, but read it off first, then we'll zero in on probably the first two categories, because I have not that much time. Okay. If you look at the next category, vertically, young man, it covers two sections, right? Stand and walk. Yeah, the first aspect of a young man is stand. A young man in 2 John is a person who has overcome the devil. Yeah, I speak to you, young man, because you have overcome the devil. Yeah, you have an overcoming life. You're not just a child, but you overcome. It is in the young man where you actually begin to see the spiritual life as more defined, more formed. As a child, you see as a baby. The baby is different from a fetus in the sense that the baby has everything, all the organs are all functioning, right? Mm-hmm. But a young man or a young woman is a person in which those organs are functioning at maximum capacity. You know, the muscles are really strong, yeah. And so, First John says, I think it's chapter 2, he says, I speak to you, young man, because you have overcome the devil, you are strong, the word of God is in you. Yeah, it's in you. And so, a lot of Christians in our modern time never reach the stage of a young man. They are never come to a place where the overcoming power of the Spirit of God in them, Christ in them, is experienced or realized. They are still trying to live the Christian life in their flesh, with their will. This is what Colossians calls will worship. You know, will worship. That means just trying to use their will to actually experience this. If you don't have the love of God as a young child, then you will find that you never quite reach the stage of the young man, young person, because you're still struggling with whether God accepts you or not, and you are still trying to live the Christian life in the flesh. Good intentions, but still in the flesh, right? And so what we are wanting to do is to be able to be people who are helpers of people's joy, to bring them and to be able to see the development from a child to a young person. Those of you who have children, you will experience that, right? You see the child beginning to be able to have ability to be able to express themselves or to be able to crawl. They can move from A to B, you know? They are overcoming gravity, for example, yeah? So, we will see certain signs of this happening, yeah? The first thing I'd like to focus on for a young, this development, that transition stage as we are growing, and I want to see how, you know, that enjoy that process of growth from a child to a young man. When you begin to see that the child is moving from having prayers answered, right, to having prayers not just answered, but they are enjoying prayer. Yeah? Enjoying prayer. And so I'd like us to begin to think about how whoever we are following up on, okay, whoever we are following up on, think about that person's prayer life, whether it's a child or a youth or an adult, right? You find that as a child, the parent is very on top of it, really ready to be there, the child. Even before the child cries out, the parent is there. But as the child begins to grow, the child has to learn how to know how to express himself or herself, but also to be able to sense the presence and more different ways of communicating to the parent and being close to the parent. True. To anticipate or apprehend the parent's presence. And so what happens is this. Sometimes when people come to Christ, they get really excited because their prayers are being answered. If they're being followed up well by us, they are beginning to experience answers to prayer. Yeah. Now, sometimes what happens is this. After they've got these answers to prayer, they find that prayer is not that exciting because they have maybe no needs, right? Or it's just boring. What do I tell God after I've told God everything I want to tell God about? What do I do when I it seems like a one-way conversation, right? Prayer becomes us externalizing or expressing or forming the things in our heart towards God. So a lot of people in liberal Christianity, they think of prayer as a way of clarifying the inner thoughts and our desires of our heart, so that prayer is a little bit of a self-therapy whereby we're able to clarify things, because the idea of a God who can actually speak back in objective ways and clear ways, it's not a reality for them. So I would say that the next stage you want to bring people into is not just having answered prayers of prayers that are in English, but you want to think in terms of prayers that are in which we are in the presence of God. We anticipate, we apprehend the presence of God. We can learn what His presence means. The presence of God doesn't become just so foggy or not even a category, become something that is centering. So we are learning to center. Yeah? In this stage, the child is advancing. We are entering into prayer as a way in which God draws us in to listen to His voice and to be able to sense, not just by listening to words, but actually having our intuitions being shaped by the presence of God. This is the most frustrating thing. It is the time in which you think nothing is happening. And without a leader, without a shepherd, most people, they go for years and years in the wilderness having no clue about what God's doing. But actually God is pressing in on us and is shaping our intuitions, our spiritual instincts. Don't you think that is the most frustrating thing? But it's the thing that most people suffer from, and that prevents them from becoming overcomers. It's just too difficult. And it is this place that there's a clear distinction between those who are experiencing God in a very real way and are being used by God, and those who are just still finding it just so much of a mystery that it's just feel like they just hang there. They just throw up their hands in frustration. Yeah? And so I'm going to actually interrupt my sharing a little bit and invite us to actually look at the questions that I've given for every one of us. Okay? And we will discuss this for about an hour. Okay? Do you see the question? I'm going to read it out to you, okay? One of the people you've been following up on has been coming to VCF on and off for the past 2 months, okay? So they've been there for 2 months. They've been here for 2 months. That means they've heard messages. They've heard more or less, maybe 4 messages at least, yeah? And so they know a little bit. During your times of meeting with him or her, you've heard of answered prayers for problems at work. But recently you've been hearing that this person doesn't enjoy prayer and finds it hard to see why it's important. Okay, or why it's even efficacious. Because sometimes they're coming to a point where their prayers don't seem to be answered. Right? You hear that for him or her, it's hard to pray for more than 5 or 6 minutes. And he or she has not known what it is to pray in the spirit. Yeah. Okay, so that's a bit of a clue. How would you address that problem and lead this person into the next stage in prayer? If you can crack this, you can cause a completely different kind of Christianity, don't you think? A Christianity lived from the presence of God as opposed to from the abstract realm of thought and natural senses. So that's why you need an hour to discuss this. Yeah? And please come back and share what you guys have got, okay? You'll have an hour to discuss this, but don't be satisfied by answers that don't satisfy you. Allow yourself not to be satisfied. Don't be pig-headed about it. Don't make it difficult on everybody. But if you're not quite satisfied with what you are discussing, keep asking, but how? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. We want this to be something that we wrestle with and come up with something that can really work. Okay? And so the second question would be, it's derivative of that. How would you encourage attendance at prayer meeting on Friday or Sunday for those who are not, who you are following up on? So there are some other prayer meetings that may be going on. But the main thing that I'm looking for is, how do we encourage people to enjoy prayer and want to pray corporately? Okay? 1 hour, we come back.
Let's have some feedback. I hope the discussion proved challenging and stimulating as well. So I'm just going to assume that there'll be one representative from each group and others can join in. And we will spend the next 10 minutes just having feedback, okay? All right, who wants to start first? Let's start with Daniel's group.
I thought you asked a question. Who wants to start?
Okay, who wants to start? See, I you know, you pay for one question, I give you two answers.
Hey, we start.
So we have a designated person. So we did talk about the case study, and I think it was, we had to kind of like talk about what does it mean to pray in the spirit. And,
yeah.
I think all of us, you know, we learn from each other, and I think in order for us to lead others into it, we need to know for ourselves.
That's good.
Walk that road first.
Yes.
And so, yeah, we talked about like kind of letting go, giving control over to God, just allowing the Spirit to minister, to speak to us. There's like a murmur, a groaning from Romans chapter 8, where the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. We don't know what to pray for. We also talked about kind of when we become believers, the Spirit is activated in us.
Yes.
Like we can now, are sensitized to God. Like we can hear from God, we can learn from God, talk to God in a way that we couldn't before. But that needs to like grow and grow. And God is Spirit and truth. So when we pray in the Spirit, we can connect with God on that deeper level, beyond what our mind and our hearts can enter into.
Yeah. Amen. That's it? Anything else to share?
I was in the car, and so I couldn't hear anyone. The thing that kept coming to me is that pouring out our hearts to the Lord is half of the interaction. And if we can help someone who's in that situation to catch a glimpse of the infinite possibility of what it is to listen to God, listen to the one who created the universe, hear something coming from the other side of eternity, that's a lifelong exploration. That's something that one could do for hours a day. And so to impart a vision of what that is, I think, would help someone to overcome that impasse.
Yes. Amen. Thank you.
Well, one of the challenges, I think a challenge that was discussed here also, is that how do we, how can we help the person share their deepest, you know, who they really are? And it's hard to share your sins, your hardships, difficulties for somebody to open up, to be humble and be willing to be known for who they really are.
Yes.
I think that's
yes.
One of the challenges.
Yes.
So you can get deep.
That's really challenge. Good. So I've just written down stuff that you've written. The thing about what one table shares is that it may overlap with other tables. Mm-hmm. So when you share with no, but don't say. Well, I said don't say. They all shared it already. So. We are interested in hearing every individual take on it, because it's always going to be slightly different. Okay, thank you. Daniel?
One other thing, in terms of the second question, so we talked about like going farther.
Yeah.
And like when we're running in a group, it's easier to kind of keep going than rather than running by yourself, because when you get tired but you see everyone else is running, they keep the pace. So when we're in corporate prayer, you can kind of like, it's like a pace setter, like we can go farther together.
That is going to be a really important part. Corporate prayer is very connected with individual, what seems to be very private, secret prayer. But actually, the opposite is true. Because we only know how to hear from God when we get debriefs, or you know, when we are praying in a group and someone prays the same thing, then we know. Because, or else we are our own reference point. Yeah, and that's the most frustrating thing. I found that was the most frustrating thing when I was church planting, and I was the only one out there, not knowing whether I'm coming or going, whether it's getting better or it's getting worse. You know, it's like, it's crazy. But when you have people to pray with, that's the nursing place of our thing. I think I there's more I can say, but I think I'm going to wait till everybody shares, okay? Who wants to go next? All right, Daniel. Daniel was already getting, their group was getting into prayer already. So I
don't have to repeat like what everyone else said. But I think for us, it was like kind of walking through the process with them. So showing them how to do it.
Yeah.
Kind of giving them a template. I think really helped. And just encouraging them that, hey, you don't have to like get it right.
Yeah.
But this is what works for me. So maybe giving them like a little bit of a template to be like, you could start off this way and then see what it developed into.
Yeah.
We talked a lot.
And like so, and like sharing your experience, the hardship, that's powerful. Because
yeah.
we don't want to be always appearing as perfect. And,
yeah.
And so like saying, you know what, this is what I struggled with, and this is what
yeah.
has helped.
Yeah.
So just keep pressing, God has
a lot. Amen. What I'm getting out of what you guys are sharing is that you have a treasure to share with other people, and this treasure is hard fought. You paid a price for that. If only we can get you close to those people who are having problems in prayer, they will be tremendously blessed, don't you think?
Sure.
Yeah, that's the trick for us, is that to get you guys close to people who are struggling with prayer. And if we can just get you in close proximity, you have tremendous things to share because of your experience. I like what you said about template as well, even though we don't like the word template, right? Because it seems like very formulaic and all that. But actually, when people are new, that can be helpful. So we can talk more about that. Yeah.
And I think like because like they're starting off in this, it's okay to be like, hey, do as I do. Because as they kind of develop into an adult, that's when they start to like have their own, you know, style, you know. And, like every like athlete, they always kind of follow somebody, but then once they get really good, then they kind of craft their own thing.
That is so true. I was listening to, I was reading something by Winton Marsalis' brother. What's his name? Bradford. Okay, so Bradford Marsalis, the blower, right? The jazz. He says, I see all kinds of musicians, they come and show, give me their CDs and say, hey, some pretty original stuff, can you listen to it? And then he listens to it and he says, it's all the same. He says, the reason is because everybody wants to be original, but they don't learn from someone else or copy. So, you know, during the Renaissance, people just copied the master's works, right? They copied Leonardo da Vinci or copied, you know, Michelangelo and all that. They just copy. And just by copying, you get into the thing of it. So I think that's a really good thing. Anyone else want to share from that group? Yeah.
And we were, like, I was kind of sharing with them that we see a lot of the kids. Like, when they get to this point where it's like, oh, what are we praying? Or, like, for my own kids, too. And it's helpful to kind of have this framework of, like, oh, they're going through this stage of development, like,
yeah.
spiritual development.
Yeah.
And, like, teaching them to persevere and
yeah.
to expect more from God.
That's right.
Like, you know, God, give me this. But, like, God's doing something in developing them as well.
Yeah. To actually share with them that there's more they can get out of there and inspire them. So there's a positive motivation. If you give them a vision, then they begin to be dissatisfied and then they start praying more. Dissatisfaction is so powerful, kind of godly dissatisfaction. Thank you for sharing that. That's really good. Let's move on.
So for our group, we had like two major themes that came out. So the first theme was the power, and we've already been share a little bit, but the power of corporate prayer. So
yeah.
that so we would tell this person that if they're not having as much traction in their own prayer life on their own, to plug into a group
yeah.
to pray with others, because we've all kind of individually have felt like in our own prayer lives that that's been really helpful.
Yeah.
Praying with other people
yeah.
helps to almost activate a jump start.
Yeah.
You have a car that's like the battery's dead.
Yeah.
You need another car, right, to come and you plug into that your cable to that car and that helps you jump start, right?
Right, right.
Corporate prayer is that, right?
Yeah.
Your battery of prayer is dead, but you come to a group and you that kind of helps jump start your desire and your enjoyment in prayer, right, in some ways. So
that's really good.
So we felt that was really important. And then the second theme that came out was also the power of relationship. So having one-on-one partnership with this person or to help shepherd or walk them through the different hard times, the hard things that come out with prayer. And setting expectations like, hey, when you first pray, you're going to probably feel worse at times. And that's
yeah.
okay. That's normal. Like, all of the darkness in you will come up first.
Yeah.
So within the 5 to 6 minutes, probably why you want to stop is if you're like, well, this sucks. I don't want to do it anymore. But actually, it's those 5 to 6 minutes when all the darkness comes.
Yeah.
You got to kind of wait there in suspense until you move,
Until
God moves you through, right? And so setting expectations, kind of like what Daniel said about, like, having, like, a road or a template so they understand, like, yes, that first thing is really hard, and then it starts to get easier.
Because
otherwise, if people go in blind sometimes, they feel lost, right?
Yeah.
They don't know how to move. And so it's easy just to give up. Right?
Yeah.
And just to shrink back instead of, like, push forward. So we talked about the importance of relationship, partnering, investing in this person one-on-one. We also mentioned that for a lot of us here, starting with just worship and praise really helps.
Yes.
So instead of just trying to jump in and just start praying, sometimes just inviting the presence of God and starting with worship is helpful. Others can add, but I think that would be
That's great.
And then kind of to Daniel Healy's point, like, we need to know what praying in the Spirit is and why we do it and why it's important and what that looks like before we can sort of help someone else, right? So having a good understanding of that is helpful as well.
Yeah. Here's a thought that came out of what you just shared. We are called to be nursing mothers. Yeah, before we are actually disciples, we are called to be nursing mothers. And I remember when my mother was filled with the Holy Spirit, and her life was completely changed. And I saw that she could pray in tongues, and I was wanting to be able to, you know, have that same experience. And she was. But because she was my mother, I was able to trust what she was saying. So she mothered me in some ways through that period of not knowing whether God will accept me or not. And then she said one day, she said, you know, Michael, when I first was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke out in tongues, I just had this word, ashtas, ashtas, ashtas. And somehow, just her saying it, made me think, that is so random, you know? But it's my mother, right? Mm-hmm. But because of my relationship, like you were talking about, my relationship with her, I trusted it. Mm-hmm. And so when some kind of sound came out that sounded like roughly ashtas, I thought, oh, mommy got it, so I it must be right. So that helped me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So much of this whole thing about praying in the Spirit, being led into it, is a mothering process, a nurturing process that's not just intellectual. It's like somebody you can trust who does it is able to care enough for you to be able to say, just try it, you know? You can always express your doubts to that. So Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says, like, how like a nursing mother we were to you, that we give ourselves. So the role of a mother, and I'm speaking about this not only in terms of young adults or adult Christians, but our children as well. So some of us are parents, right? So much is to do with the fact that a certain kind of parentalism or a certain mothering happens. Hope that helps. That's helpful. Okay, and let's go to the next. Yes, Gary.
Thank you. One of the things that I thought the case study was about me. So I said, what's helped me to be involved in corporate prayer? Because, and also developing quiet time. But I had the answer for the question right away. It was just the Friday potluck and prayer.
Mm.
Because what that has done for me is it creates a space of connecting first at a relational level, a personal relationship, and then we move into a time of prayer. And it's a very very safe space.
Yeah.
And I was very talkative earlier, but now it's
no, that makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
In the larger group. But yeah, that's what keeps me coming back, is because I want to see the people. You know, the food is good too.
Hot dogs yesterday, right?
Missed it.
But yeah, that was something that we learned years ago back in our YWAM days, is that getting to know the people you're praying with.
Yeah.
And then when you pray together, you just even get even closer.
Yeah.
And also that modeling thing as well. You were mentioning about the jumpstart. It's like, it's a safe place that, you know, you don't have to have this big elaborate prayer, but it could be a word. It could just be a phrase or something really simple. So it's created a space for me to be able to be comfortable in a corporate prayer situation.
Amen.
And one that, over how many years we've been here, been fairly consistent with over the last 3-4 months. So,
praise God.
Yeah, so it's been a really cool situation. So that was helpful for me to look at the case study.
Yeah, of yourself.
Personally, what's made it easier for me to feel comfortable and to be encouraged. Because I know the people that are going to be there, and I know that they're lovely people, and I'll be safe in that environment.
Yeah. And that's where, when prayer becomes a matter of not just a meeting where anybody can come and not come, it becomes when some people commit themselves to being there. What helps is to know that these people are going to be there.
Yes.
Yeah, and it builds a trust and relationship. Amen. I'm going to have to move to the next group. So feel free to share. All right.
Okay, so we talked about kind of focusing on God instead of ourselves, not having a goal in prayer. So, you know, just like you would, you know, go see your best friend, the goal is to just relate with them and talk with them and understand them better, right? And so kind of that idea, the relational aspect of pouring out our own heart, so being honest, being willing to, you know, to share when it's appropriate, right? And then our approach to God. So coming in knowing that, being thankful, having a kind of an aspect of worship or praise for God, even no matter how we feel, being able to do that. And then even, you know, the things that we've learned in the Word about who God is, having those in mind. So things like the blood of Jesus, right? Like we can come into prayer with the knowledge of the blood of Jesus is over us, right? So instead of coming to God with all of our crap, right? And trying to relate with God while feeling guilty, you know, we can actually go and relate to God knowing that we're forgiven, right?
Yeah.
And then, let's see. This was shared as well, but kind of the idea of why is it difficult to pray by yourself? And it's kind of because all of the negativity, all of the things we actually think, right? Who we are actually comes up, right?
Yes.
We're not distracted by other things. We're actually trying to focus on God until you get, you know, all of our negative thoughts, all of what the world sees us or what we think the world sees in us is coming up. And so just the idea of self-awareness, right, of who we are as opposed to who God is, and coming to God in that, and having it, then having God overshadow us, as opposed to trying to somehow suppress all of that,
right,
and go to God and trying to believe God without actually having Him engage that stuff.
Yeah.
Right, so it is actually, you know, there is a way that we need to go and focus on God, but there's actually a way we need to go and focus on us and then have God come into those things, right? And have God kind of break them, break the power that those have.
Yes,
yeah.
Amen.
I think that's...
Anyone else want to add to it, to that?
Yeah, we will cover like that, with a kind of self-focus of what's the difficulty for us and what helps us in praying and practicing the presence of the Lord, and then in extending it practically to another person.
Yeah.
You know, the fact is, people, especially baby Christians, there's just a lot that they don't know. Like, they may not know God is personal. They may not know that the presence of God is there. They may not know that, you know, to your point, prayer is not just a list of petitions.
yeah.
that we send up and hope
right,
the answer
right.
comes down, it's encountering a real person. And they may not just know that. And then the onus kind of comes on us, I think, to come alongside them and show them what the Spirit
yeah.
of the Lord is like, what the presence of God is like. Because if they don't know, if they haven't tasted it, how do they know that they want it? They don't. There's no kind of motivation for them to work past that 5 or 6 minutes of misery. as they're battling their own thoughts. So similar to Shannon's group, that kind of that responsibility that we have as a church in coming alongside people and training them. And yeah.
Amen.
And actually, there was one of the things which you guys were bringing up, and that is some people actually go to corporate prayer, and actually, it's a bad experience for them because they actually sit in their own negativity and they're never
wow.
let it out. So one of the things we talked about is the idea of going to corporate prayer with them and then being able to debrief it later, right, to help them. Because some people, you know, go in like, so Gary goes to corporate prayer and he's able to move into that space, right, and kind of leave stuff behind. But some people can't do that. So, like, we were kind of sharing
wow,
what it was like
good.
As teenagers going to a prayer meeting and going, what the heck is going on? And then just shutting down and, you know, thinking about whatever, you know, that we wanted to think about. And so you can go to corporate prayer and actually have it be a bad experience. And so having somebody come alongside you and debrief that helps.
Very, 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 very helpful. Yeah, that's really great.
Yeah.
Let's take that with us, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, that's amazing. That is really true. In fact, actually, Gary has shared with me about how that even affected him before, and now it's so real now. Now it's such a difference. Yeah. First of all, I want to invite you to consider keeping a prayer journal, because answers to prayer are very important foundation. So the child, for a child, getting answers to prayer are objective realities that actually happen. When we've experienced doubts, we actually have to go back to our prayer journal. I use my prayer journals a lot. My children have all got prayer journals in which they, and how I use it is that on the right side, I put my devotions, and on the left side, I put anything that comes up in prayer. It could be a thought, it may or may not be from God, I just put everything there. My whole life is in that book. I get very, very anxious if I lose that book. Because I keep on looking at it. This is all I know is what God tells me. I am only what God tells me. I am nothing else except what God says. So that prayer journal is something I encourage you to have, as well as to encourage those who you are following up on to have. Because when you just meet with somebody, you can just start not with like even having anything to prepare to share with that person. You just say, open up the prayer journal, see what God's doing. And you start from what God's doing. You start from God, right? Rather than from whatever antecedent thoughts that we had. So I would definitely invite that. One of the things that I thought that's important is for us to actually assume, and here's your template, okay? The template is that 15 minutes. Not 5 minutes. What was that phrase you used, Maria?
Five minutes
of misery. By the way, I think we should use this as a VCF phrase. 5 minutes of misery. We all know the 5 minutes of misery. I would say 15 minutes. I would say 15 minutes. So that we almost write off that first 15 minutes. If somebody is wanting to be listening to God, right off that 15 minutes of horrid gunk. I like what Scott said. What we actually think rises up, and it's important for people to actually know a little bit of that template, in which for the first 15 minutes, in terms of brain activity, you know, it takes our brains time to settle.
Yes.
When people are young Christians, when they're a child, they do experience a certain amount of grace in which they, when they are listening to God And I found that for children especially, it just comes so easily. But when you're moving towards being a young person or a young man and all that, you that space, that 5 minutes of misery and all that, 15 minutes of misery, is a place in which there's demonic activity. And that's where we are overcoming the enemy, right? You're overcoming the devil. So even in prayer, so the Desert Fathers always talk about the term ascesis, which is, you know, that where you get the ascetic, kind of the word ascetic, where they have to battle it. They had to battle for their space. They had to stand and not leave their cell or leave their space of prayer. And when you're moving from child to young man or young adult, you're moving through that space in which there is this phenomenon in which our own demons, our own thoughts, our own brain activity has to be passed through. And so if we kind of give people some kind of expectation about it, that would be tremendous. I think what we are seeing here is that learning how to pray in the Spirit is a corporate thing. We all need feedback. We all need some kind of model in which we hear somebody, we just do as someone else is doing. I really believe in that. You do as I do, or, you know. And so that's all also connected with the fact that relationally, when we bring someone to a prayer meeting, as this group mentioned, we bring somebody to a prayer meeting, we don't just bring that person and then leave them to their own devices, but actually the whole feedback loop is a really, really important. I gain so much through that. If I didn't have that, I don't know, I think I would have been in the wilderness for a very, very much longer time. But because of the fact that when people talk about their own experience, they are actually generating categories for me to peg whatever I'm experiencing or sensing or receiving to. And there's a word for it, you know? And then somebody used the word impression. Oh, that's something, that's a thing. Because I thought that in charismatic movement, you only get visions or dreams. But then people got impressions. I thought people prophesied because they actually see ticker tape, you know, and they just read it off. I thought visions were just like so profound. And somebody who was pretty prophetic said impression. Just getting that thing, that word impression, gave me a category for ways in which the Holy Spirit witnesses by soft promptings upon our mind. And suddenly I realized, oh, I can take that down a measure and be able to have that. So what is really crucial for individuals who we are following up, these new people who are coming into church, is for them to have somebody who can walk next to them and pray with them. So I would say that these things cannot be learned by teaching, actually. If you think about it, teaching actually doesn't do the job. The only thing that does the job is one-on-one conversations and praying with that person. And group prayer as well. Yeah? And then debriefing. One of the things to be able to share with people, and this is going to be my last point, because we have to move to the next thing, is that the sense of God's imminence is nearby. Yeah, nearby. And because of the fact of that He is nearby and He is actually acting, we are actually entering into the zone of His acting. Okay, He's doing some things. But because of this 15 minutes of misery, we can't see it. But He is actually acting. The prayer has to do with the fact that He is acting upon us rather than we are trying to find Him. Yeah, if we are trying to find Him, and if He doesn't want to be found, then forget about it. It's not going to work. But we are starting on the basis that He is looking for us. He's searching for us. If that's the case, then the actual process of hearing from God is a lot easier than we know. Because it depends on His success in coming to us. Right? And in order to know that, then here's the analogy. I'm a drowning person and the lifeguard is coming to save me. The less I struggle, the better. right? The less I move around and use thought to try to fix or assuage or to fix my own lack of hearing. Because the first thing we grab is a thought, right? Mm-hmm. We grab thought, we grab logic. The first thing to do is to just rest. And to just set my heart towards Him, just worship Him and praise Him. That's all. Right? And so that's an important thing that, and if people can get that, that actually unconditionally God is coming to them, and we are only supposed to wait for it, and keep in an attitude of worship, that 15 minutes of misery will go. How do you know? You just have to do it with them.
60 minutes?
Yeah, just have to do it with them, right? That is why prayer meetings and coaching is very, very important for us in our work. One by one, if people who are coming to the Lord, if one by one they enter into this, they know how to enter into the spiritual realm, you actually have, it's almost like they're born again into the Spirit. Right? Until that happens, it's all in the mind. It's all trying to figure it out, all staying in the realm of thought. If you can do that once with one person, it's huge for that person. Yeah? So I want to encourage each of us to actually get close. Get close. One of the things that I thought may be helpful for us in our ministry is that it seems to be there are three processes or stages as we grow in our ministry. If Jesus called us mainly to make disciples of all nations, right? Then a lot of other things are not as important. Not that that's the one-on-one discipleship is the only thing. There are different ways of doing it. But the first thing that I feel that most people will be in is you're just pursuing people who are coming to the church. You know, you're not their discipler, you're not anything special to them, but you're pursuing them, you're loving them, you're praying for them. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to sort of put people upon your heart. Follow that, because a lot of the most significant things that happen in a person's life happen here. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I wanted to encourage all of us to be pursuers so that we win people to Christ. Yeah. Then there's another stage when out of these people, you begin to narrow down on one person. And the person, see here, there may be five of us who are blessing that person, praying for them, you know, doing prayer ministry, you know, talking to them, having conversations, having lunch with them. There may be five people who are doing that with them. But at this stage, you are the main point person. That person looks to you, right? And as that person looks to you, you are wanting to actually bless that person. You want to give life to that person. You're praying for that person all the time. And you feel that God has called you to this person. Or two people, or three people, whoever, you know, however many God does. And you are committed to that person, you know, shepherding that person. The main thing is be helper of that joy, of their joy. This is not the time to discipline anybody. This is not the time to cause people to give up their jobs and go full time. You're not in that place to do that, right? There will come a time in which you may actually be having that relationship with that person in which the trust is so much, so great that so that person is becoming like a young person, you know, overcoming the devil. They have their own spiritual life. And in that place, that person, the person you're shepherding is saying, I want to be like you. What does it take for you to be like, for me to be like you? Then you can tell, yeah, I've got to suffer. Just kidding.
How do we know that we're qualified to be doing any of these things by virtue of being...
By virtue of being in this group?
Yeah, I feel like I can do the pursuit and then like the shepherding. I'm like, God help them if I'm that point person for them.
I say every one of us think of ourselves as right here. Mm-hmm. Have a good foundation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No.
Right? Just pursue. Just love people, pursue them, and be open to the fact that God may be locking you in with certain people in a good way. Yeah? I think all of us should focus here. We need more evangelists and pursuers. Because by doing that, we embody and we represent
the hound of heaven, the God who pursues. Yeah? Don't go here yet, where your people are coming to me. Oh, come to me. No, later. As we pursue people, then what's going to happen is that as we pursue people, we are making something out of nothing sometimes, moving the world. And as we do that, we develop spiritual faith and boldness and substance, and our gifts are honed when we are pursuing people who God has placed upon our hearts and we are praying for them. What will happen is that this will naturally take place. Yeah? But I just wanted to give you a sense like these are what you can expect. Amen? And then at a certain point, this will happen. But this one becomes more with a person who is, I'm very serious with God. I don't want to muck around. I want to be used by Him. And I want God's potential for me to be realized. And I'm willing to pay the price for that. And that's where they are more on a training mode. Yeah. So I'm going to leave this with you. We have about 10 minutes or 5 minutes. I can't remember. And there's one more thing to do. Feel free to share with one another where you are in ministry. I think the question that is here on the practicals is, see if you can handle 1, 2, or 3 of these questions. What ministry are you currently part of? Or did you recently join as part of our cohort application? 2, what key is God releasing to you to grow in your relationship with Him as you are ministering or participating in this ministry? And 3, what barrier or obstacle are you facing to gain further traction with Him as you are ministering or participating in this ministry? Feel free to do 1, 2, or 3 of these questions. But these are ongoing questions that we are fellowshipping with one another in. Yeah, we are sharing and we are mindful of each other in that. So feel free to do so. And then close in prayer when you're done.
I think they're four. I think they're four.
he talking about the short one of the just pursuing and not and that
part. have so much freedom there about placing on in this or situations where
places are intensive, feel like they're happening. And the tables have been extremely demanding for me because of the slow process. It's a lot of information for me. Between the tax lines, it's between. I really don't have to memorize the tax lines and figure out how to do that. Blend for everything. So I haven't been involved with this. It's helpful to you to approaching it with this two fast, I guess. It's a good point. Now I'm looking at if I go back to the gathering now.
Yeah, it's something I think about.
Personality makes it not care.
John said, well,
he's
my copy.
Can I ask you to do that?
Okay.
We just have one announcement.
Sorry.
Quite important one.
Sorry, just to remind us, we're not going to meet all together next month because of the holidays and everything. So the next time we meet will be in January. So January 11th. It should say 2020 on the little calendar. It's fine. We're going back in time. No. Yeah, so January 11th. So just to encourage us in the meantime, since, you know, sometimes we want to continue the momentum of what things we're learning here, what Pastor Coe's shared, what we've all been sharing. So to encourage us, like, to keep on with the pursuing people, plugging into the ministries that we're already in. And then I just want to give another plug to plug into prayer.
Yes, so, amen.
Friday prayer, Sunday amen. Prayer. If yes. you're not already plugged into corporate prayer, just to please consider coming to either one of those. I know there might be some other prayer times too, but those are the two we've been talking about. Just because it's just corporate prayer, as we've been sharing together, has been really powerful. So even if you can't come all the time, even if it's once a month, whatever you can do to plug in, I think it'd be really helpful to continue growing in what we've been talking about today.
Yes.
So January,
Yes, amen. Your contribution to the corporate prayer is very valuable as well, because just you sharing what you're getting and things like that, and just coming alongside people is what people need, you know? So you are needed. Your ministry is needed. Yeah? Thank you.
What does a T mean under young man? Is it an acronym? Talk about
a young man, huh? T? Tia, yeah. Where?
I think it's supposed to be an acronym.
TA is a way in which, you know, we have favorite verse, right? It's on a verse. Then we have 4Q, which is on a verse as well. But the TA is T stands for teaching. But at a certain point, you are doing your devotions, and there's a way in which devotions are issuing forth into a teaching. And so, and it's more for a whole chapter. You are expounding a chapter. So that's another thing. I've only taught it once in VCF, donkeys years ago. But I'm hopeful that, you know, we will keep progressing. I mean, this is not as good as it gets. We're just in the starting point right now. Yeah. Okay, we'll share more about that.